Chapter 3. Han had barely made it into the sewer tunnel before a rat-catcher droid collided with his ankle. He looked down. Sure enough, the panel light was glowing a steady red. Lady Proxima and her lieutenants thought a steady red light on a rat-catcher droid meant it needed to be recharged, but Han knew better. It really meant that the droid contained a message. With Su'ulo's help, the White Worm kids had been using rat-catcher droids to exchange information, even small items. Lady Proxima was sure to find out about it eventually. Han didn't know what would happen to the little droids then. But for now, it remained the safest way to communicate with each other under her nose. He bent down and opened the rat compartment. Inside was a dog biscuit. Han laughed out loud before he could stop himself. The biscuit was about the size of his palm and as hard as a mud brick, and Han knew it would taste faintly of fish. It was one of the treats Rebolt gave his massive drooling hounds. Su'ulo must have swiped it from the kennels, knowing Han would get hungry after not finishing a full breakfast. Dog biscuits weren't exactly luxury fare, but they were nutritious and edible to most bipedal species, and Han was grateful to have one. He shoved it into his pocket and proceeded down the tunnel. His route would take him near Old Man Paolo's territory again, but thankfully not through it. Then again, the weight of the dog biscuit in his pocket gave him an idea. He would have to hurry to pull it off and still make his mysterious appointment at the foundry. So he hastened into a jog, splashing through the tunnel without regard for stealth and caution. Plenty of time for that later, right? He turned into the warren of darker, older tunnels that marked Paolo's territory, and found the cave-like lair with ease. The room still glowed, though the fire in the pit had burned down quite a bit. Paolo lay on his side, facing the entrance, on a pallet made of rags and rat skins and rotting underbrush. His eyes were closed, his breathing steady and even. Han cleared his throat. Paolo cracked one eye open, then the other. He sneer-grinned and said,
"Han? Friend?"
"Yep, that's me," Han said. "Here, I brought you something."
He reached into his pocket and grabbed the biscuit. He was about to hand over the whole thing, but common sense got the better of him, so he broke the biscuit in two and shoved one half back into his pocket. He would need it later, no doubt about it. He extended the other half to Paolo.
"It's a, treat," he said.
"Treat?"
"Yeah, for eating."
Han pantomimed putting the piece of biscuit into his mouth. Paolo's face brightened, his eyes flashing molten gold. He rose from his pallet and approached, hunched-shouldered and cautious. Then, quicker than a striking snake, he snatched the biscuit from Han's hand and shoved it into his mouth.
"Mmm, is good,"
he said, crumbs sticking to the corners of his mouth. The two of them were close now, only a meter apart. Paolo's skin was dry and cracked, and a few wisps of facial hair grew from his chin. What struck Han most, though, was the obvious intelligence in the creature's golden gaze. Paolo clearly struggled with Galactic Basic, and Han wondered what the fellow's native language was. He had learned a long time before, though, that broken speech almost never indicated lack of intelligence. In fact, he himself probably sounded just like Paolo every time he tried to speak Huttese or Shriwook.
"Glad you like it," Han said. "I'll bring more if I can get some. Anyway, I have to go. See you later, Paolo."
Lately, Han's instincts had been telling him to cultivate allies. Maybe it was the fact that Lady Proxima had been even more secretive than usual these past few weeks. Or maybe he was looking for every possible advantage as he leveraged himself for the position of head. Whatever the case, Han had been making a point of getting to know someone wherever he went, whether it was a cantina, a factory, or even a sewer. It paid to have friends. It especially paid to be owed favors. That didn't mean he wanted to be soulmates with anyone. Han was a loner, and that suited him just fine. And it didn't mean he trusted any of his friends. So as Paolo happily chewed his dog biscuit, Han cautiously backed away, a careful smile on his face. Paolo didn't bother swallowing before opening his mouth to say,
"Bye, Han. See you soon."
"Yeah, see you soon."
The moment he was out of sight, Han turned and fled.
As he pushed through the low tunnels, it occurred to him to wonder, what if Paolo hadn't liked the biscuit? But would he have become hostile? Some aliens considered gift-giving to be offensive, and some couldn't eat the same food as humans. There were so many ways that could have gone wrong. Maybe one day Han would learn to think things through a little better. Then again, where would the fun be in that? The foundry was a good hike away, so Han had to hurry. As soon as he reached a larger corridor with room to stand up straight, he sped back up into a jog. It would be a lot faster if he could take the streets, maybe hail a speeder cab. But Lady Proxima was stingy with money, and she hated to run up costs, no matter how important an operation was. Faintly, through mortar and metal and stone, came the sound of chimes. The Temple of the True Vine was sounding its call to morning prayer. That meant he had minutes to reach the foundry. Han burst into an all-out sprint. The entrance to the foundry basement was just like the manual airlock of a low-end freighter, a large round portal opened by cranking a wheel. Han suspected that an airtight entrance meant these tunnels could be flooded at a moment's notice. It was a smart precaution, and one he'd have to keep in mind. Lady Proxima had specifically told him he was not to be seen entering or leaving the foundry, and he'd been careful while traveling the sewers. But there was no way into the basement except through that hatch, which was bound to be noisy. No help for it. Han grabbed the wheel and cranked. It squealed like an angry Gungan baby, a piercing wail that Han was sure could be heard for kilometers in every direction. He cranked and cranked. The airlock squealed and squealed. Finally, it popped open. Han scooted inside and pulled the hatch closed behind him. He started to crank the inner wheel to lock it into place, but he thought better of it. Best to leave himself a quick way out. He half expected his contact to be waiting right there, but the corridor was empty. His footsteps echoed through the tunnel. He hurried around a corner and jerked to a stop as a huge shadow loomed before him.
Han,
said the shadow in a voice completely devoid of inflection. Relief flooded through him. It was one of the many contacts he'd been cultivating. TDH-4, a massive, hulking tool-and-die series droid. He was a huge steel beast with fitted arms that were actually long gadgets. A lathe, a welder, a drill, and even a miniature stamping press. He was mostly obsolete now, but he'd somehow avoided being thrown into the smelter by doing odd jobs for the foundry, even pulling the occasional sentry shift. Han didn't know how old he was, possibly centuries. In any case, the droid obviously had a knack for survival, and Han couldn't help admiring him.
Hey, Tool!
Han looked past the droid to see if his contact was close by.
It's nice to see you. Look, I'm really sorry, but I don't have any lubricant with me today. I'll try to bring some next time.
Tool waved his welder in dismissal.
Don't worry about it. There are bigger matters at hand today.
That's great, Tool, Han said, giving the droid a pat on the shoulder.
Already on his way around Tool, when something in his voice made Han stop. The droid's flat tone always made him sound surly to Han's ear, even though in all fairness he'd been programmed during an earlier industrial era, before technological advances in vocal intonation or lightweight polymer alloys.
Wait, what did you say?
I admit, I'm surprised to see you. I thought this deal would be too big a fish for Lady Proxima's little pond.
Han stared up at him. Tool was his contact.
Did I say something wrong?
Tool asked flatly.
No, it's just, you use words like no droid I've ever heard. It's so human.
Thank you, Tool said. I adopted some language programming that allows me to make metaphors in Galactic Basic. Follow me, please.
Huh,
Han said, falling in behind the droid.
Well, the language program is definitely working.
That was Tool for you, always improving himself. Like the time he'd paid Han to find three very specific screws that he had used to rearticulate the elbow joint of his ungainly lathe attachment. They reached a stairway. Tool struggled to navigate it. His massive knees did not bend easily, and the going was slow.
Any idea what's going on?
Han asked.
Yes,
Tool said. Well, are you going to tell me?
You mean you do not know?
Proxima told me almost nothing.
That was probably wise.
Han glared at his friend. Listen, Tool.
Everyone in that room thinks my name is Dai.
Huh? I thought it was TDH4. I just call you Tool because...
Because I am a huge tool. Yes, I know. Ha ha. Ha 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 ha. Thanks to my new language programming, I now understand the jest. You can call me Tool if you like, but I'm going by Dai now. I thought it appropriate, given my new position.
What position? Tool, did you get a job? That's great. I'm real glad for you. What are you...
They had reached the top of the stairway, and Tool keyed the door open. It slid wide to reveal a bunker-like room, reinforced with cement and Durasteel beam construction, all coated with some kind of gray resin. Weak light flickered overhead, illuminating a single conference table made of dull metal, surrounded by bent metal chairs. The scents of rust and mold and dirty grease made Han wrinkle his nose. Like Tool, the materials in this room were obsolete, holdovers from an earlier industrial era. But if you needed a quiet, unobserved place to make a deal, someone had jury-rigged this underground bunker to do the trick just fine. It wouldn't surprise Han to learn the walls were a meter thick, or that the resin coating blocked heat sensors and was waterproof. Where innovation was high but resources were low, you took what you had, slapped it all together, and hoped it held. It was the Corellian way. Two people, both humans, were already sitting at the table, and they looked up as Han and Tool entered. One was a dark-skinned male with the most ridiculous mustache Han had ever seen, thick and fuzzy as a caterpillar, except with waxed points on either end that drooped all the way past the fellow's jowls to his jawline. The other was a pale brunette woman with gray at her temples. She wore all black, including a flight jacket. The only splash of color was a patch on the upper arm of her jacket, a bright yellow triangle with concave sides. The insignia marked her as Kaldana Syndicate. Han usually tried to avoid the Kaldana. They were serious business. The man with the ridiculous mustache said,
"Hello, young man. What have you been up to?"
Oh, right, I've been dusting crops, the easiest job in the galaxy." The man's mustache twitched.
"And your name?"
"Han."
"Han what?"
"Han nothing, just Han."
"And who are you representing today?"
The White Worms."
"Excellent. Please have a seat, Han nothing of the White Worms."
Han pulled back a chair and sat. As he did, he noticed that both the mustached fellow and the Kaldana woman wore enormous holsters. Han didn't know much about blasters, but based on the size of those holsters, they were packing a lot of firepower. Lady Proxima had never given him more than a knife, but this time she hadn't even given him that. Although he supposed there was no point bringing a knife to a gunfight.
"And of course, we are already acquainted with Dai," Mustache Guy continued. "Thank you for representing the droid Gotra today. We will understand if you are anatomically incapable of..."
He waved a dismissive hand.
"Performing a sitting gesture."
Han wasn't sure how he knew, but he was certain that last bit was meant as an insult to his friend Tool. If his hackles weren't already up from being in a secure bunker with two well-armed strangers, they were now. And Tool wasn't his contact. The droid was another messenger. Like him. The three humans faced each other at the table, and Tool loomed over Han's shoulder. Han waited for someone to say something, but everyone seemed content with silence.
"So," Han said. "Anybody here play sabacc? I didn't bring a deck with me, but if any of you happen to have one..."
The Kaldana woman raised an eyebrow, but said nothing. The mustached man just stared off into space. They were waiting for something. And Han had no idea what. He could ask, but he had a funny feeling that revealing his ignorance would be a bad move. He'd have to play it cool. He leaned back in his chair, trying to act casual.
"It's a great morning for making a deal," he said.
And as soon as the words were out of his mouth, he knew he sounded like a dumb kid who was trying too hard. Han decided to use a different approach.
"Neither of you told me your name," he said. Still nothing, unless you counted the exasperated look from the Kaldana woman.
The Kaldana? Here in the Foundry basement, no less. To the best of Han's knowledge, they were an organization of pirates and shipjackers, formed to take advantage of the inevitable smuggling traffic in Corellian skies. Now that the Empire had a stranglehold on shipbuilding, anyone else who wanted components had to get them out the hard way, and the Kaldana were always lying in wait, hoping for an easy score. Their interests sometimes took them planetside, and the White Worms had encountered them occasionally in the streets, but never below ground. Corellia's criminal organizations generally gave each other space, and everyone knew that the dark underbelly of Cornet was Lady Proxima's territory. Something serious must be going down for the Kaldana to conduct business here, and for Proxima to let them. Han looked up at his friend Tool. Mustache Guy had said he was representing something called the Droid Gouda or Grotto or something like that. Whatever it was, Han had never heard of it. He wouldn't be surprised if Saulo or Kira knew, though. Maybe he'd make a point to ask one of them when he got back to the White Worm Lair. Thinking of Kira made him wonder about her errand. Odd that Proxima would give two of her oldest scrum rats tasks the same morning. Her gang was a nighttime organization, with few exceptions. Obviously, their two errands were related somehow. When they got back to the lair, maybe he could convince Kira that it was in both of their interests to trade information, see what they could learn from each other. The moments ticked by. Han realized he was bouncing his leg under the table and forced himself to be still. Overhead, the lights buzzed and flickered. He nearly jumped out of his chair when someone's comlink pinged. Mustache Guy pulled his from his pocket and listened. Han strained to hear, but couldn't parse the other half of the conversation at all.
"Understood," Mustache Guy said. "Yes, I can handle it."
He stashed his comlink, then rose to his feet.
"Well?" the Kaldana woman asked.
"The winning bid was submitted by the droid Gatra," he said.
The woman gasped.
"Apparently the White Worms weren't even in the running," Mustache Guy continued. "An embarrassment for them, really."
Han had no idea what that meant, but he was sure it was nothing good. Tool stepped forward, and one of his massive legs accidentally banged an empty chair, toppling it.
"In that case, may I see the merchandise, please?" he intoned.
"Of course,"
Mustache Guy said, reaching into his pocket again.
"Wait," said the woman. "Surely there's been some mistake. My organization put together an impressive bid. I don't understand how..."
"The Gotra's bid was the most impressive," Mustache Guy assured her. "I'm sorry, but you lost."
The woman's hand twitched toward her gun holster as her eyes darted back and forth between Mustache Guy and Tool. Han considered fleeing. The White Worms had lost some kind of auction, that much was clear. There was no sense hanging around. Proxima had promised him the head position if things went well. Surely this constituted things not going well? Not that he'd had any control over the outcome at all. It was just that he trusted Lady Proxima about as much as he trusted the goodwill of a Corsac officer. He couldn't count on her to play fair. But maybe if he stuck around, gathered some information, he could redeem himself in her eyes. It was his only chance. He stayed put. Mustache Guy pulled out a tiny, hinged chest, engraved with vines and flowers. It was only about a fourth the size of a ratcatcher droid.
"Is that it?" the woman asked, leaning forward.
"No. The droid Gatra's merchandise is inside."
He fiddled with it, pressing a flower petal here, a hinge there. It was a puzzle box, Han realized, meant to hide something of incredible worth. Jewelry? Credit chips? Precious stones? Something hissed, and the lid popped up on its hinge, revealing a red velvet pillow. Pressed into the pillow was a shiny data cube. The compartment in Tool's chest swung open, and he extended a long pincer, grabbing the cube.
"A pleasure doing business with you," he said in his flat voice. "Or do I have that backwards? I also understand that business always comes before pleasure."
Han stood to leave, not sure he had gleaned any information of note. That the droid Gatra had won an auction for a data cube? That the Kaldana representative was angry as hell. Han felt more confused than ever. I guess I'll be going, he said. Congratulations, Dai.
Just as he turned to go, the door leading to the foundry flew open, and six men burst through, all wearing black. Han ducked under the table, but not before he noticed their Kaldana triangle insignias and their giant blasters.
Up against the wall, someone yelled. All of you!
Han remained crouched for the space of several heartbeats. Was he fast enough to make it to the stairwell before blasters started firing? Probably not. Resigned, he gradually rose from the ground, hands in the air.
Surely we can talk this out, he said. I'm just,
Shut up, said one of the men. Against the wall, now!
He waved his blaster at Han. Han complied, but he placed himself as close to the stairwell as possible. Mustache Guy's back was already pressed as far into the wall as it could go, as if the fellow was hoping he'd sink right in and disappear. Tool was beside him, the data cube still held in his pincer. The Kaldana woman, on the other hand, had moved to stand with her fellow thugs, a smug grin on her face.
Hand over the data cube, she said to Tool. If you do, no one gets hurt. Not that a droid cares about humans.
He looks to be a century old, at least, said one of the thugs.
Older, said another. Should have been sent to the scrap heap a long time ago.
Well, it's never too late to right a wrong, said the first guy.
And he aimed his blaster at Tool's head.
Wait, said Tool. I'll hand it over.
But then Han heard, clear as day, even though it was barely more than a whisper.
Get ready, Han.
Ready for what? He almost asked, even as he groped with the realization that Tool had modulated his voice so that only Han could hear him. Tool stepped forward, putting his hulking metal frame between Han and the Kaldana blasters. Han crept toward the door.
I'm so sorry it had to come to this, Tool said to the thugs. But I'm a fly caught in your trap. Or would it be better to say web? In any case, I'm in a snare, like a caught fly.
Was Tool stalling? Han was almost to the door now. With mind-numbing speed, Tool twisted on the axis of his waist, pivoting a full 180 degrees.
Han, catch!
He said, and tossed the data cube to him. Han was reaching for it, snatching it from the air before his mind registered what was happening. Tool lurched toward him. Blaster fire had caught him in the back.
Now run,
Tool said blandly, as if nothing was happening.
For your life. I will make a stand here. Do not let that data cube out of your sight, no matter what.
Han was already fiddling with the door. It slid open as more blaster fire erupted against Tool's flank. How was he withstanding all this? Every single attachment Tool had ever been fitted with popped out of his carapace. His lathe began whirling, and his welder lit up with blue fire as he stepped away from Han, advancing toward his Kaldana foes.
Run!
He commanded again, and this time his voice was as loud as thunder. The sounds of whining machinery and gunfire soon mixed with screams. Han ran, clutching the data cube tight in his fist. Down the staircase he fled, through the airlock door, into the sewer. Blaster fire grew quieter, at first with distance and then with cessation. His breath came in gasps as he ran as fast as he could. He needed to get back to the lair. He needed to tell Proxima. No. His gut instinct told him that was the wrong move. The deal had gone badly, and it would be just like her to sacrifice a scrum rat to save face and curry favor with the Kaldana. Better that than an all-out gang war. If he returned now, his life would be forfeit. He stopped in his tracks. What should he do? Where could he go? He stared at the data cube in his hand. All this trouble for something so tiny. Whatever information it contained was worth killing for. Or dying for. Tool was probably a heap of scrap now. He had sacrificed himself for Han. Or maybe for the data this cube contained. Han hadn't realized a droid was capable of such an act. Maybe he shouldn't count his friend out yet. The way he'd withstood that blaster fire. Han wouldn't have believed it if he hadn't seen it himself. Maybe Tool was made of something even stronger than steel. Maybe all those self-modifications had paid off, which meant there was still hope. A skittering noise put him on high alert. A moment later, a dozen rats blurred past him. One bold fellow clambered right over his boot. He was used to rats. They didn't scare him. But he was definitely scared of whatever had scared them. Han stilled himself, held his breath, and listened. Sure enough, footsteps sounded. Faint splashing, an angry yell. The noise was echoing and distant, but coming closer. Tool's sacrifice had bought time, but not victory. The Kaldana were in pursuit. Han ran as fast as he'd ever run in his life, away from the sewer tunnels that led back to the White Worm Den, heading toward the center of town instead. Low-hanging pipes and cracks in the floor, and even the occasional sewage block, all conspired to slow him down. But he kept alert, dodging and jumping and pumping his legs as fast as he could. He had no idea where he was going or what he would do next. But he figured that gave him the advantage, since the Kaldana killers had no idea either. He'd have to figure out his strategy along the way. For now, he just had to evade his pursuers and count on his luck to hold.